Hello, everyone. This is Anna Verzoni, founder and creator of FreedomJunkie.com, and welcome to the first call during the preparatory week of our Ayurveda Spring Cleanse. Welcome, and I just want to thank you all for being willing to explore this new and different cleanse. You know, when most people do cleanses, I feel like even, you know, most people know about juicing and most people know about elimination diets and things like that. But when it comes to hearing about an Ayurvedic cleanse, not as many people are as open to that idea. And so I really wanted to offer something fun and different for spring, and I'm really glad that you guys are here. Just to cover some logistics really quick, I wanted to let you know that you can attend, obviously, on the telephone or via webcast. And I just sent out a link for the webcast people because apparently in the email, it took you to a replay page of one of my calls from either a month or two ago about stress reduction, which I'm sure you've all loved to hear. But you're here to hear primarily about the cleanse right now. So I sent out another email for that webcast link. So if you're wanting to get on by webcast as well, go ahead and recheck your email and head on over to that link instead, okay? If at any point you want to ask a question, go ahead and press star 2. Star 2 will raise your hand, and I will call on you when there's a good break in the conversation. Or if you're on the webcast link, you can also type in any questions you have into the question and answer box on the left. And I can see that already a couple of people have sent in some questions. So remember, star 2, or you could type it into the question and answer box, all right? I just wanted to give you an overview of what we're going to do in this next hour or so. I wanted to start off by giving you a briefing about Ayurveda. I have a much more extensive recording that you were all sent in your welcome email, so I don't want to waste your time on this live call for questions that can be answered by listening to that recording. But I do just want to, you know, give you a brief overview to jog your memory again about Ayurveda. And I also wanted to go into an overview of the cleanse because this is our preparatory week. And that means I've learned after leading these cleanses for a while now that it is important to have a guided preparatory week because most of us procrastinate until the cleanse actually starts. And really, it's helpful to be able to get questions answered, to think about it and plan about it during this first week. And then the last 2 weeks, we're going to be actively cleansing together, okay? All right. So a little bit about me. Many of you have worked with me before, but I know that some of you have not. So I just wanted to give you a little backstory about who I am, what I do, and give you a little briefing so that you have a little bit better faith in when I'm answering your questions and when I'm recommending certain things to you. So I'm a classic multi-passionate. I started off as an international climbing guide. I was a massage therapist, yoga teacher, went to nursing school, got 2 master's degrees in advanced nursing, became a family nurse practitioner. I studied at UC San Francisco. And then I got a second master's in nurse midwifery. And then I also studied at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And I got my other coaching degree from the Coaches Training Institute for my life coaching practice. And but I have to say that I think one of my most qualifying experiences for starting on this path was when I first got cancer in 2003. And yes, I say first because lucky me, I got it twice, 2 different times, 2 different kinds. And when I first got cancer, you know, I was of this mindset of like, okay, I can do this, I can fight this, I'm strong. I mean, I was super fit. I was a professional climbing guide. I just started graduate school. I was going to Yosemite every weekend to climb. And I just, you know, I didn't even feel sick. And, you know, but something in my body wasn't in alignment. So anyway, make a long story short, they cut it out. I'm fine. It was kidney cancer, which is very scary. But I managed to catch it early enough. And so after that, I felt a little bit disempowered, though. I started my coaching practice because my identity had to completely shift after I got cancer. I had felt I was living an ideal life, traveling the world, getting paid to climb big mountains in the Himalayas and Nepal and India, all over the world. And, you know, I was happy in my friendships. I got into the best graduate school in the country for my program. And, like, I thought everything was awesome. What wasn't in alignment, though, was that my identity was completely connected to what I was doing externally. So while my life was rocking, I was feeling great. But then I got cancer, and I had to face the fact that what if I couldn't do all those things anymore? What if I couldn't live this rad lifestyle where I was always traveling and doing all these awesome things? What would happen to me then? Would I still like who I was? Who was I without big mountains and adventures and international travel and all that stuff? And it really forced me to look deep into, you know, was I living life to the fullest, not just externally, but in my spirit? Was I taking emotional risks? You know, I was like, I was in a great relationship, but was it awesome? No. Like, it looked good on the surface, but was I being honest with myself about was I pushing myself fully? No. And so, anyway, I did a lot of deep work around that, and that's when I started my coaching practice. And then I dove into more deeply alternative healthcare. I had already had a deep passion, obviously, of a massage therapist and yogini and, you know, in Chinese medicine and Ayurveda, but I dove even deeper into not just how to help the body once it got sick, but about preventing bad things from happening again. And I've always come back to cleansing as one of my mainstays because I find that it helps me stay in check. There's nothing wrong with eating crappy food sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with, like, you know, going out and partying and, you know, having fun and, you know, eating ice cream and drinking wine and doing whatever, as long as it's balanced with a generally healthy lifestyle. And I find that cleanses help reset me to get back to that generally healthy lifestyle when I've strayed. Because inevitably, the further I get from my last cleanse, the more I sneak in a little more sugar than I used to, or I have an extra glass of wine than I used to, and all of that. And so regularly cleansing reminds my body when it does its best. And so that has been a saving grace for me because our body is our best laboratory. And when I know what makes me feel good, I'm more likely to make those choices. So that's why I do regular cleansing twice a year, at least in the fall and in the spring, which is what we're doing now. I also like to do ideally one in the summer and in the winter, but sometimes I'm traveling and it's just not as practical. But definitely twice a year. And I wanted to emphasize to you that my philosophy around healthcare is it's not about being healthy. It's not about eating the right veggies, being at the right weight, you know, sleeping the correct amount of hours and drinking enough water. It's about what being healthy allows you to do. It's about what having that energy lets you go out into the world and experience, you know, the adventures you're going to have. The time that you're going to be on this planet with, you know, the body that's healthy enough to play with your friends and your family for a long time to come. That's what being healthy is about. It's not about the actual act of doing yoga or, you know, your breathing exercises or doing the cleanse. It's about what having this level of energy will allow you to do. Okay? So let's dive right in here. In terms of Ayurveda, why Ayurveda for this cleanse? Well, Ayurveda for a long time has encouraged cleansing seasonally. And not only cleansing food-wise, but also managing and changing your lifestyle patterns according to the seasons. And I think this is something that our society, in the United States at least, has been moving away from. And then I'm really hoping to see a pattern of moving back towards, which is basically getting in touch with what season it is and what comes naturally for us during that season in terms of how much we sleep, how much we eat, how much energy we're expending, or how much energy we're saving. Like if you think about it, winter, if you look at nature, the plants draw inwards. That's why they turn brown, right? Like they draw inwards, all the energy goes into the roots. And that's because they're storing their energy for the real productive times of spring and summer and then the harvest in the fall. Similarly, as humans, it's natural for us to draw inward and store, hence we might put on a few more pounds in the winter, and do more introspection in the winter. We should eat warming, heavier foods. And then come spring, like now, it's time to shed. It's time to grow. It's time to get out of our shell and get out there. And so, you know, eating seasonally as well. What's out there in the spring now? Lighter foods, lots more greens, you know. So it's a great time to do a cleanse. Winter is not the best time to do a more intense cleanse because in the winter, you know, our bodies are working on storing. They don't want to naturally eliminate and get rid of a lot of stuff in the winter, okay? So Ayurveda has always focused on the importance of seasonality and being in alignment with that. Ayurveda is a word in Sanskrit that has been translated as the science of life, the science of longevity, the knowledge of life. But it's essentially not just like a science of, you know, how to heal disease. It's actually the science of how to live a long and healthy life, which I think is brilliant because that's ultimately what we want. We don't just want to avoid getting sick. We want to actually live a vibrant life. That's what Ayurveda is. Some of the principles of Ayurveda that we'll keep in mind during this cleanse are to be aware of your dosha or your Ayurvedic constitution. The Sanskrit word for that is also prakriti. And basically what that means is that we're all born with a certain balance of the five elements. And that I go more into that on the call recording that you received in your welcome packet. But basically each of the elements combine to create vata, pitta, or kapha. And vata, you know, is a more light, dry, movement-oriented dosha. Pitta is more fiery with a little bit of water in it, more focused on transformation. Kapha is very grounding. It's more earth-oriented and wet. So, you know, the different elements combine to form these three doshas. And we are each a unique combination of those. At birth, it's where we are naturally at balance. And so, like, for example, I'm more pitta with a little bit of kapha. You may not be, you know, just one. Most people are at least two. Very few people are perfectly balanced with three, but they do exist, and we tend to have very strong constitutions. But in general, we're a combination of two. And when we figure out what our dosha is, what our prakriti is, then we can make decisions that will help balance that particular dosha on a day-to-day basis. Now, when we're out of balance, which here in the West we often are, that is called your current condition or vikriti, with a V as in Victor. And vikriti is your imbalance, so to say. So even though I'm pitta kapha right now, because I live in Alaska right now, and it's we're just coming into spring, but it still kind of feels like winter sometimes. It's cold still. There's ice. I have more of a vata imbalance right now. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, don't worry. Just please have a listen to that call recording on Ayurveda Basics that you received in your welcome packet, okay? It'll make much more sense to you. There's also worksheets that go with that call for you to complete to figure out your dosha. Now, with the Vikriti, I'm going to be sending you all an email with the replay link for this call that will send you to a couple of places to check out your imbalance. If you haven't done that yet. And so your Vikriti, which is where you're at right now, you know, even though your questionnaire to figure out your dosha asks how you've been the vast majority of your life, the questionnaire I'm going to send you after this call is on what's going on right now. Now, you can have an imbalance that changes day to day. One day your pitta could be out of balance. Remember, pitta's fire. Let's say you ate a bunch of spicy food, drank a bunch of wine, and then you wake up and had a bunch of coffee. Like, all that's very acidic, very fiery. That could throw off your pitta for a while. So there's things you can do to put that into balance, okay? So I'm going to be sending you that just so that you're aware of what your current imbalance is. And as you go through the cleanse, you can see, is anything getting aggravated? Is anything getting improved? And you can use the forum and use these calls to ask me questions to help make little tweaks in your diet or in your lifestyle to help put those things back in balance, okay? So remember, go listen to the recording, figure out your dosha, your vikriti, and also check out the Ayurvedic basics about the five elements and whatnot. So what I'd like to do before answering any questions is do a quick overview of the cleanse itself. And I'm just checking to make sure no one's raised their hand about that. Okay, we're good so far. Fantastic. Okay, so this cleanse is an Ayurvedic cleanse based on the principles of Dr. Duyard's Colorado cleanse. It's just called the Colorado cleanse because he lives in Colorado and Boulder and he loves it. But it is an Ayurvedic cleanse. And he is a chiropractic physician and an Ayurvedic practitioner who has studied with a lot of amazing practitioners from India as well. And what I love about this cleanse is he has done a phenomenal job of making it very organized, and it's very science-based in terms of metabolism and in terms of what has worked best for most people, and particularly in the herbs and alternatives that he recommends. Now, I know many of you have ordered the Ayurvedic herbs already. That's awesome. If you haven't yet, you still have time to get it before the cleanse actually starts on the 8th. Because this is still our preparatory week. But if you don't want to order the herbs, or you can't for whatever reason, that's fine. In the book, there are alternatives to the herbs. I'll explain. I think at some point I marked where it is so you can check what the alternatives for the herbs would be if you aren't ordering the Ayurvedic herbs, okay? So the Colorado cleanse has three phases, which I really appreciate. So we will start phase one on April 8th, and that's a four-day pre-cleanse. And what that is doing is it's priming your digestive tract. And the herbs or herbal alternatives that you take will essentially like really scrub out that digestive tract with a high fiber and low fat diet. This will thin your bile, and it will open up your pancreas and your liver, which do become congested over time with toxins, okay? The detox channels will open up and will be ready to move your toxins in phase two. So think of this as like, you know, getting ready for the spring cleaning, like opening things up, opening the windows, opening the doors for the dust to leave as you do this cleaning out, okay? That is going to be 4 days. So it's kind of nice that you can ease into it. Phase two is the main cleanse. So let's see, 8, 9, 10, 11. So this will start on April 12th, the main cleanse. That is just 1 week, 7 days. This is when we really get into fat metabolism. And I really want to emphasize here, you guys, it's not about losing weight on this cleanse, while that often happens. This is not about losing weight because the reason that we're going and tapping into fat metabolism is because that's where a lot of toxins are stored. It's about detoxification. You know, you can lose weight by water or by muscle mass if you're doing like more of the fasting type cleanses. This cleanse provides you with the nutrients you need and the pattern of eating that you need in order to access your fat cells, so that you can most effectively get rid of toxins, where the fat-soluble toxins are stored, okay? So basically, these 7 days, we're going to pull the toxins out of the fat cells and into your colon for elimination. And we're going to really support the liver and the gallbladder to continue to draw out that fat and help with digestion and elimination. The reason we need to support digestion and elimination in this phase is because if you're not digesting it, you're not effectively eliminating it as well. Like, you're not absorbing the nutrients you need in order to effectively detox. So if your digestion isn't good, your detox isn't going to be good, okay? So the herbs or herbal alternatives will help with that. The main cleanse supports healthy lymphatic flow. So the lymph is mostly involved with your immune system and eliminating toxins. balances your blood sugar and helps you burn those fat-soluble toxins way after the cleanse is over, okay? Now, phase three. So, at the point that you're at phase three, so I think this is around the 19th of April. Phase three, once your digestive tract is cleaned out and reset, then we start stoking and resetting your digestive fire because it's been eating and experiencing food in a certain way during the cleanse, during the previous 11 days. And so for these last 3 days, we're kind of getting it ready to eat your normal food again, okay? And so by easing out of this more intense 7-day portion of the cleanse, by easing out of it, that keeps you from kind of the classic, like, woohoo, the cleanse is over, let's have pizza, beer, and ice cream phase, okay, which will really slam your body and can really clog up your channel and cause some problems. So this is kind of like just the phase at the end so that you can re-enter into non-cleanse eating and not shock yourself. One of the main principles of this cleanse that I really want you to take home is that this is not about starvation. It's not about being hungry. If you're hungry, you should eat. This is not anything about quantity, okay? This is about what you're eating, when you're eating, and detoxifying. It's not about how much you're eating, okay? So the reason that is really important for you to know is because you really are not going to release fat cells or toxins in your fat cells if you're stressed out and hungry. When you're hungry, the body sees that as a stress signal, and what does it do? It wants to store. It wants to store your fat, and that means that it's not going to release your fat cells and it's not going to release your toxins. So it's really important that you get this. You are not supposed to be hungry on this cleanse, okay? Now, I really want you to read your ebook at least like, through phase one, read it before each phase so that you can get any questions answered by me before we start, because there are little tweaks and little aspects of the cleanse that I want you to become aware of now so you can prepare for them during this prep week so that you're not overwhelmed when we start on the 8th. And one of the things that is discussed in the ebook are the different elements of this cleanse as well. Now, one of those is 3 meals a day, no snacks. And again, that has nothing to do with being hungry. What it has to do with is when you're snacking, you're not accessing your fat cells. Why? Because if you're eating all day, your body's just waiting for you to put the next snack in. It's not going to say, oh, I'm hungry, and she's not eating, so I'm going to then tap into my stores of fat. That's why the fat's there. It's for times in between meals, right? So if you're never having time in between meals that you're not eating, you're never going to effectively tap into your fat stores. Now, if you're used to snacking, you may think, oh, my God, I'm going to be hungry. Well, not if you eat big enough meals. So if you find that between lunch and dinner, you're getting so hungry and you cannot get to dinner without snacking, what does that mean? It means you need to eat a bigger lunch. Okay? It does not mean to starve yourself. It does not mean to power through the hunger. So what you do is you have a snack, okay, and then you learn. You learn. What did I eat? Okay, so for lunch I had a salad and some chicken on it or like some organic chicken or whatever, and that wasn't enough. So maybe tomorrow I need to make sure I also have some soup or I have like an extra serving of protein or whatever it is. Just learn from it so that you get to the point where you can ideally do 3 meals a day without snacks. One of the most common questions I get is, but I work out before dinner, and then I'll get totally hungry if I bonk. It's like, you know what? If you eat a big enough lunch, you can actually get through your workout after work and then go home and eat. You just got to eat a big enough lunch and play with it and time it so that you can last. So just learn. Don't let it stress you out. Just go, oh, okay. Well, I'm hungry, so I guess I'll eat now, but what can I do tomorrow that will set me up for success without having a snack? I mean, I used to lead Himalayan expeditions, and I didn't snack, you know, between lunch and dinner. So you can make it between lunch and dinner, for sure. You've got to eat a honk meal at lunch. Lunch, Ayurvedically, should be your biggest meal of the day. So 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. is your strongest digestive fire. I talk about that on the Jedi Juice Ayurveda call. That should be your biggest meal. Supper was meant to be supplementary. That's why it was called supper. It wasn't supposed to be your biggest meal of the day. Lunch was. Big lunch, lighter dinner, ideally. But that's not so important to me right now. What's important to me is that you access the toxins that you want to release. The best way to do that is three large meals that can carry you through one to the next. Ideally a lighter dinner, but not if you're going to get hungry, okay, with no snacks. Okay, let's see here. One of the things I wanted to emphasize also, in addition to that, you know, no hunger thing, is one of the mantras for the Colorado Cleanse is relax. Do the best you can. The rest will come. So if you're looking through this book and you're like, holy shit, Anna, what the hell is getting me into here? This seems really overwhelming. One day at a time. Okay, that's why we have this prep week, so that you can flip through the material, read it, set yourself up for success. Ask questions. Figure out a system that will work for you, okay? I know that some of you are traveling and are kind of asking me, you know, what should I do if I'm traveling? Or, you know, you worry about with your family members, how they're going to handle it. Well, you know, this is what this week is for, to figure that out. So definitely think of where your challenges might be. Like, are you having some parties you're going to want to go to, or some on the road time? How can you set yourself up for success? What food can you bring with you to set yourself up for success? When it comes to if you're the person in charge for cooking with your family, and if they're not on board with eating some of the recipes that are recommended, then there's a lot of good recipes, by the way. But if they're not into it, then you just need to eat separately. A lot of the food you can make once a day, and that could be what you eat all day, every day through the cleanse. Remember, the active cleanse is only 7 days. And the whole cleanse of active cleansing is 2 weeks, okay? The main cleanse is only 7 days. You can do this, even if it's a little uncomfortable, all right? So remember, do the best you can, no matter what. If you, like, screw up a little, or you, like, you know, have your snacks and, like, you know, you're all stressed out, don't worry about it. You are still going to benefit from this cleanse. I'm giving you, you know, your ideal, your most optimal. So the bottom line is life is meant to be good and happy, and you're doing this cleanse to be happier and have more energy, so don't let it bring you down, okay? The rest will come. And definitely, I just want to emphasize why while it's not specified in Ayurveda per se, you should eat as clean as possible, okay? Which means no GMO, ideally, organic food whenever possible. Fish has become increasingly polluted. Ironically, in some ways, it's easier to regulate organic chicken now, or organic turkey or something like that, versus fish, because the ocean waters are becoming so polluted. But if fish is your thing, definitely do cold water fish, okay? Wild caught cold water fish. Definitely no farmed fish. So like wild Alaskan salmon, or I know in the Pacific Northwest they all have good wild salmon as well. So some of that cold water fish is the best in terms of lower toxins. Okay. For each phase in the book, pages 14, 15, 16, it lists some of the things you're going to need. One of the things is that's unique in Ayurveda is the concept of foliation, or ghee. You're going to notice that in the main cleanse, in phase two, for 7 days, you're going to start taking ghee. That has two separate doses. So you can do regular doses, which are small, or for those of you that have done oleation before, you do higher doses, Okay? So why ghee or why oleation, the process of, you know, really adding oil into your body? Well, the concept is that when you take an oil and it passes through your system, it is attracting fat-soluble toxins. So just like you're eliminating and, you know, but in phase two, remember, you're accessing your fat stores and releasing those toxins. If they have nothing to bind to, if there's nothing for them to bind to as they move through your system, they're just going to go right back in. So Ayurvedically, in the morning, you oleate. You consume these fats in the morning so that throughout the day, they are absorbing the toxins that you're releasing, and then they are eliminated through your colon in your stool, okay? So while ghee is traditionally the preferred in Ayurveda, if you try it and you hate it and it's nasty, you can do coconut oil. But it's not considered as beneficial as ghee. You can buy ghee over the counter, try to get organic ghee. Even if you have mild lactose intolerance, most of the lactose is removed in the process of clarifying the butter that ghee is made out of. And again, ghee is clarified butter. They basically heat butter. And then what that does is then the milk solids coalesce at the top, and then it's scooped away. So what you're left with is clear liquid, which is the clarified butter, okay, and that's ghee. And so ghee is considered much more beneficial, and since most of the lactose is removed in the process, even people who are lactose intolerant seem to do okay with ghee. I don't like the taste of ghee so much, so I just kind of power it down. Like, I just basically, you know, take my amount, get it down quickly, and just, you know, like chase it with something yummy like a juice or something like that. You can also melt it and put it in almond milk or coconut milk with some spices in it. That's a really nice way to take it, especially if you're used to like warm drinks in the morning. So the idea in phase two is that high fat in the morning of the healthy fat of ghee or coconut oil, and the rest of the day is a lower fat meal. Again, having nothing to do with losing weight, but having to do with forcing your body to access your fat stores. Okay? You're getting the fat you need in the morning, and then you're accessing your fat stores the rest of the day. So you're probably going to need to eat more than usual if you're used to a higher fat diet. And the simplest meal, I know that one of the questions I got was, is there a go-to recipe? Yes, kachari. There's a great kachari, K-I-T-C-H-A-R-I, recipe in the ebook. If you just make that once a day, you can actually make the kachari in a rice cooker. You can soak the beans, they're mung beans. You soak the beans overnight, and then that'll soften them up, and then you can stick them in a rice cooker, and it'll just cook them all together. And that way you'll just open up your rice cooker and you'll have food the rest of the day. So once you soak your beans, you can even prepare your kachari overnight while you sleep in your rice cooker so that when you get up, you have your meal for the next 7 days. Now, some people get really sick of kachari after the week. They're like, I'm so sick of kachari. Hey, the point is you're cleansing right now. Remind yourself of all the goodness you're doing for your body. Take the gratitude attitude of, hey, isn't it awesome that I don't have to think of what to cook every day? I know what I'm going to eat. I know it's simple. Now, instead, I have all this time to read or to go for walks or to journal or do whatever. I mean, cooking and preparing and thinking of food can take up so much time. The nice thing about picking one recipe like kachari to stick with during the main cleanse for, you know, your main meals at least, can be really, really helpful. There are different levels of kind of like nourishing during the second phase. I'll go into that in a little bit. But in terms of a go-to recipe, I say go with the kachari because Ayurvedically that's very easy to digest. It's low fat. You can play with the different recipe variations to find one that works for you. And you can make it as a one-pot meal, and it lasts for a long time. Ideally, you're not making a big vat of it and eating it for 3 days because there's something to be said about fresh food. So ideally, you're just cooking this overnight in your rice cooker and then having it all day the next day. And repeat, sleep, wake up, eat, repeat, sleep, wake up, eat, okay? But there are a lot of alternatives if you're not a kachari type of person. Like some people just don't like mung dal beans or rice. Well, there's plenty of other recipes in that book, all right, to help you choose and play with. So I recommend that you flip through that now so that you can do your grocery shopping and start experimenting with kachari that'll work for you during the cleanse. Now with beans and rice, I mean, that's really a perfect combination of protein because rice does have protein in it. So when you add the protein in beans with the protein in rice, it makes a complete protein. So for those of you concerned about working out or exercising, you should have a complete protein if you're doing the kachari. If you're not, that's a different issue. So, you know, write and let me know what you are choosing for your meals, and then I can help you figure out better protein supplements for it. But the basic answer to what do I do to prevent muscle mass loss is more beans and rice, okay? Does it have to be mung dal beans? No, it can be any kind of beans you like, but mung dal is very easy to digest. That's why it's a part of this cleanse, and it's a traditional Ayurvedic food. You'll notice that in the recipes it calls for basmati rice, and in the West we're told that brown rice is much healthier. And, in Ayurveda, they're all about what's easy to digest, because if you can't digest, you're not going to pull in the nutrients. For a cleanse like this, where we're not just, you know, eating clean and eliminating common allergens like some of my more nutritive cleanses, this cleanse is all about, it's more like serious detox, like accessing your fat stores and the toxins in your fat stores. So it is better to have more easily digestible food, right? And so basmati rice, you can experiment with it. Sometimes brown rice can be harder to digest on a cleanse like this. So if you're hooked on brown rice, go for it. But also be open to eating basmati rice if you really like it, okay? Spices are like medicine in Ayurveda. Turmeric has been found to be a really effective anti-inflammatory. It's an adaptogen, helps your body cope with stress, both on a biological level and on an emotional level. Cancer prevention, I mean, turmeric is amazing, and Ayurveda has known that for a long, long time. So when you see recommended spices, really think about it and know that in Ayurveda, they're looking at it like medicine. Ayurveda is very much food is medicine, okay? And in terms of the herbs, on page 40 in your book in chapter 5, and you know all these page numbers are listed for you, so don't worry about, you know, frantically writing these down. But on page 40, there is a lot of detail about the Ayurvedic herbs and about their alternatives. So if you're not interested in doing Ayurvedic herbs, you can use some of the Western herbal options that they recommend, okay? For this particular cleanse, I made it pretty clear, I think, in the emails I sent that herbs are ideal in this cleanse because we're really focusing on strong detox. And so if you're not going to do the Ayurvedic herbs, really try to at least do some of the herbal alternatives that it's recommending, all right? And if you have questions about that, let me know. Some of my other cleanses, since they're more about resetting and, you know, more mild to moderate detoxification and eliminating common allergens so that we get our inflammation down. You know, the herbs can take those to the next level too, but these herbs are, the Ayurvedic herbs in this cleanse are actively pulling the toxins out in a really powerful way. All right? Okay. The other part of the cleanse are the rehydration therapy. So 3 meals a day, no snacks, right? The oleation and the ghee in phase 2, the herbs. In terms of rehydration, Ayurveda is really big on hot water because it opens up the channels. So it's not just like drink a bunch of water. It's like sip on hot water throughout the day. It will keep your GI tract prepped and open, just like sitting in a sauna, right? It'll keep the channels open to help the toxins leave. So you know, every 10 to 15 minutes sipping hot water. So you can boil some water, put it in the thermos and have hot water. If you don't have that option, ideally you've at least boiled water, which eliminates a lot of toxins in the boiling process, like some are vaporized and eliminated. Then you can sip at least room temperature water that's been boiled throughout the day. If that's too much for you, which I can totally get, don't worry about it. Just sip water throughout the day, okay? And in terms of how much, drink at least half of your ideal body weight in ounces of plain water. So let's say you want to weigh 150. That means you should be drinking 75 ounces of water a day at least. That does not mean that you're adding in tea and juices and stuff like that, because whenever you add something into water, it makes it harder for your body to use it. So during this cleanse, it's really important to use plain water. That doesn't mean you can't also have those other things. But when you're thinking about your 75 ounces, half of your body weight in ounces, that's what you want to be knowing. It's plain water, and any other stuff is additional to that, okay? There's also the 12-minute workout that Dr. DR describes if you go to Chapter 6. That is ideal to do in the morning. In terms of this cleanse, it's ideal that you move your body 10 to 20 minutes a day in the morning. Why in the morning? Well, when you move, you're raising your metabolism for hours after that, even if it's just for a short amount of time. So that's going to help you detox throughout the day when you're being really active. And so that's why you want to at least get some yoga in or this 12-minute workout in that he described. I think it's a great workout for people that don't have time to go, you know, on a long run or something like that, because the cardiac benefits are really great with this interval training that he describes in the 12-minute workout. So check that out. It's in Chapter 6. He gives a really good description there. You know, it's basically like run really hard or, you know, walk really fast for a minute and then rest for a minute to a minute and a half, and then go again hard for a minute and then rest for a minute, minute and a half. So there's only like four or five cycles of that, you know, and then you're done. Because there's a warm-up and a cool-down, so it's really easy to kind of fit that in. So really think about, you know, what movement you can do in the morning to help out with that. There's also optional stress relief practices that I would highly encourage you to not make optional, because when we cleanse, it's really important to nourish our body, mind, and spirit on all levels. And when you do these stress relief practices, you're going to detox way more effectively. I mean, even, you know, on the hunger level, I already explained how your body's more willing to release toxins and fat cells when it's not stressed out by hunger. Well, the same goes with emotional stress. When you're really stressed out, your cortisol levels are high, your insulin's high, and then you're storing your fat more, and it's just way harder to detox and to enjoy being on the cleanse. So, you know, doing yoga, like even if you just do 10 sun salutations, which are described in the book here, if you just do 10 of those, like once or twice a day, it's great. Breathing, the Nadi Shodhana, which is alternate nostril breathing, that's also described in the book. I'll try to put a link for that on our Facebook page so you can kind of see how it's done. If I forget to do that, just tag me in a post, and then I'll go ahead and post that on there or have one of my assistants do it. But that is a great relaxation practice. You could do it during lunch. You could do it at a break during the day. Just I just do 9 to 11 cycles. Those are my favorite numbers, so 9 to 11. I just do 9 to 11 cycles of alternate nostril breathing. Meditation, you know, 10 minutes once a day. You know, if you don't have time to meditate for 10 minutes, then you should probably exactly be the person who's meditating for 10 minutes a day. You should make the time. It's a really great start to your day. And daily self-massage, which is also described, right? So just 5 minutes of that, getting out of the shower, doing a full body massage with some sesame oil or almond oil or coconut oil, and that can really help set the tone for your day. I personally advise you to do all of those things upon awakening. Now, if you ordered the herbs through me, I also included a free tongue scraper to scrape your tongue in the morning. Take a look at that. You wake up, you scrape your tongue 3 to 7 times. Look at the coating on the tongue scraper and notice how it changes throughout the cleanse. In Ayurveda, the coating is a manifestation of ama, or toxin buildup, when your digestive fire is weak. And so usually at the beginning, your ama coating is quite thick. And it can sometimes get a little thicker in the beginning as your body pushes out more toxins, but throughout the cleanse, it should get a little lighter. If you've been eating fairly healthily, it may not be as obvious, but it still feels good, and it's a good thing to do. So the tongue scraping can be part of that. But I recommend that you do it, all these practices in the morning, because there's just the simple fact that if you do it in the morning, you've done it. And there's no more excuses throughout the day because, you know, shit always comes up and there's always a reason to not do something. So I highly recommend you do it during the day. Okay. If you're doing the herbs, these are pretty intense herbs. If they kind of kick your ass and you know, are feeling a little bit too, like these herbs are too intense for me, either on your intestines or otherwise, just cut back a little. You could just, you know, cut the herbs at a lower dose, just do one capsule each day with the main meal, and then work up to one capsule with each meal or something like that. Don't be afraid to tweak the herbs to lower doses before you work your way up, okay? Also, drinking more water to help you eliminate the toxins, because when your body releases these toxins, it's like, oh, now they're circulating through your body. You can feel like crap. Drink the water so that your kidneys can process them and get them out. And also, if you drink more water, you're going to have better bowel movements, and that will help you eliminate those toxins as well. And also, you can eat more protein, like lean meat that's organic, or soy-free protein drinks. Soy, you know, isn't so great for you. We could talk about that for a long time. But some of you had asked, you know, could I do a shake if I need more protein? Yes, you can do a shake. I recommend personally, like, either Isagenics or Shakeology, because those two companies use high quality ingredients. They don't put a lot of other crap in it. It's just basically either, you know, whey protein or a vegan form of protein. They both have superfood ingredients in them. Isagenics tastes better than Shakeology, but either way, I prefer that you do whole foods. So eating more lean meat or beans, but if you need a protein drink, that's okay too. If you're finding you need it, don't just do it because you think you're going to need it. Wait until you see if you need it, okay? Alrighty. Let me skip ahead here. Okay, so after we're going to go into phase three, you know, with the coming off of the cleanse, and then we go into integration. So that's basically after the cleanse is done on the 21st, try to eat, you know, with your normal diet, have an emphasis on seasonally harvested foods. That's this whole, like, eating seasonally thing. Dr. Diard actually wrote a great book. I think it's called Eating with the Seasons, something simple like that. But I highly encourage you that be your pattern after the cleanse, is really focusing on eating clean, whole foods, and seasonally. And then you can also continue to take your herbs until they're gone. You don't have to stop taking them just because it's April 22nd, but continue taking the herbs and let yourself, slowly come off of the cleanse that way, because they'll still be supporting your digestive tract. And then you can also help to recolonize your digestive tract with probiotics, okay? And so there's recommendations on page 30 of your book for different strains of probiotics. Now, in phase two, I did want to mention that there is a flushing. I'm trying to find what page it's on. There's a flushing phase. Where is it? I can't find it. Maybe it'll come up later as I flip through the book here with you. But essentially, there's Epsom salt mix that you can take that will help you have a very powerful bowel movement, or two or three. And that is to do your final flush at the end of phase two. So it's not like you're doing it every day or something like that. It's just at the end. All right? Now, some of the most common things people experience when they're detoxing are either blood sugar imbalances, especially if you're used to snacking all day, every day, you might notice some blood sugar imbalances. The good thing about learning to eat three meals with no snacks is you're training your body to not need those snacks. If you're eating well and your digestion is strong, your blood sugar should not be crashing in between meals. All right, so you need to eat good, big, healthy meals, three of them throughout the day. If you're having issues with blood sugar or detox, some of the common symptoms are headaches, shakiness, nervousness or anxiety, sweating, irritability, palpitations or fast heartbeat, lightheadedness or dizziness, hunger and nausea. So you can feel hungry even though you're not really needing the calories per se. It's just because of your blood sugar imbalance. Tingling or numbness in the lips or tongue. Weakness, anger, irritability, nightmares, you know, just like weird stuff. And so you want to be adding more protein to your future meals. You know, you need like to add, like if you've been eating basmati rice, you could put quinoa, which has way higher protein. I mean, quinoa has so much protein in it as a grain. It almost has as much protein as meat. It's pretty crazy when you look at how much protein quinoa has. So, you know, replace rice with quinoa. Or you can add, you know, more of the protein than you've been eating if you're doing some of the lean chicken or something like that, okay? Or do the protein shake with your meal so that it's not a snack, but it's in addition to your lunch or in addition to your dinner, okay? In phase, and then there's some suggestions on page 37 for other things you can do. Let me flip over here. Okay, I'm almost wrapping up my review before I get to some questions here. And so, I wanted to mention that there are, I wanted to go into the meal options. So I'll start with meal option 3. And that's what I recommend if you're one of those who's really concerned about being hungry on this cleanse. Or you can at least start with this and then work towards the other one. This is the most stabilizing to blood sugar or a really active lifestyle, like, you know, those of you that have big workouts, or you're really busy, because really, like, brain power uses up a lot of calories. So meal option 3, which is described on page 74, that's for phase 2. Okay, this one, you know, has kachari, which is like, you know, the beans and rice and veggies, plus additional steamed vegetables and fruit, okay? The main thing is just to make sure that you're avoiding fat during the cleanse except for your oleation. So you'll still benefit doing this nourishing meal option. You should not be hungry. You know, you can have salad, you can have oatmeal, all right? And so think about those things and go to immediately the meal option 3 if you're worried about being hungry. If you're an experienced cleanser and you really want to, like, you know, go like straight to the deep detox, then, you know, there's meal option 2, which gives, you know, people whose blood sugar is still not quite stable, maybe you're used to snacking a lot. This is basically based on kachari and steamed vegetables, and then a few other substitutions for you during that time. And in terms of meal option 1, basically you're doing kachari. That's it. And so, you know, I've done this cleanse with all 3 options. It totally just depends on my day. Like sometimes if I'm sick of kachari, I'll do one of the nourishing meal days just so I can have a little bit more options with the different veggies and some oatmeal for breakfast or something like that. But I will say that if for 7 days, like just having kachari is pretty awesome because life is simple. And, you know, you're eating to live instead of living to eat. Like to eat, maybe it's not the most awesome experience, but there's better shit you got to do during this cleanse, and that's what you can focus on. You could focus on your journaling and whatnot. So again, it's still not about being hungry with the meal option one, even though it's just kachari. It's just one of the most detoxifying because it's easy, it has few ingredients, and so you're able to digest it, and you're just going to be able to pull toxins more, and it's like guaranteed low fat, okay? One of the other components of the cleanse is self-inquiry, and there's some journaling that will come to you, journaling prompts every day. They're also listed in your book, I think starting on page 78 or so, but I will be sending you an email every day of the active cleanse, so starting on April 8th. And when you get those emails, it will give you some journal prompts. I really encourage you to take the time to do these. This is kind of like the cleansing the mind phase. Even if you don't want to sit down and write in your journal and blah, 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 at least look at the questions and think about them and answer them in your head or answer them out loud so that you can go through the process of you know, thinking about, oh, my cat's about to jump on my computer here. Hey, Nico, don't step on the computer. All right. So expect those journal prompts for self-inquiry. And if you're doing, you know, if you're getting distracted by food and stuff, take that as a signal to go in and focus on your mind and what's unsettling right now and what could you do to nourish your mind and soul that will take your mind off the food. Okay. And, all right, I already talked about the final flush on day 11. Now, the recipes, like I said, there's tons of different lunch ideas. Potato leek and fennel soup, Mexican squash mash with chili, corn chowder, sweet potatoes and quinoa. Those are all phase one and three ideas, okay? You know, carrot soups, mung bean soups, borscht, buckwheat with savory veggies, carrots and turnips, fun dressings, all right? All fruit meals. And what's cool, what I love also, is that there's seasonal recipes in here. Like on page 108, which is a very auspicious number, by the way, there's spring and summer meals for phases one and three. So go to there. Go to page 108 and think, okay, I'm in spring now. I'm going to do these spring and summer meals for phase one and three. And remember, like phase two is just 7 days. So there's on page 120, recipes and meals for phase two. They're marked for if you're going to do the more nourishing version, the rejuvenating version, or the transform version. And so you can have, you know, they give a kachari recipe. They show how to cook it in the rice cooker method, all right? And there's a bunch of different kachari variations, like for breakfast. Something weird just happened to my phone. If you guys can't hear me, press star 2, okay, just so that I know that you're still listening to me. And, you know, there's dal with winter greens, lentil soup with rosemary garlic rice. So these are all things you can be eating in phase two, all right? I will be available to answer any questions during, you know, in between our calls on the Facebook group. I'm there, you know, Monday through Friday. During business hours, my time zone is Hawaii, Alaska time zone, but I'll do my best, you know, because I know I'll try to get to it in the morning because by the time I wake up, some of y'all on the East Coast are up hours before I am. So I'll be checking in for any questions. If you really want to know the answer to a question, press or tag me on Facebook by typing in my name and making sure that it looks blue on the Facebook group. That way I'll know for sure that you want to ask me and not just the general group a question. If you don't know how to do that, you could ask how to do that on the Facebook group as well. So what I'm going to do is go to some questions now. Remember to press star 2 if you have any other questions, okay? So Karen says, does cleansing help to balance hormones and or reduce symptoms for perimenopause and menopause? If not, are there Ayurvedic herbs or practices that may not fit into the cleanse category but that do help these symptoms? Thank you kindly, ma'am. Karen, great question. I'm actually going to have a guest speaker for the Urban Wellness Club. You guys could check that out at urbanwellnessclub.com. It's a monthly membership thing we do. But next month, our topic is hormones. And Dr. Claudia Welsh, she wrote the book, Balance Your Hormones, Balance Your Life. She's an Ayurvedic and traditional Chinese medicine practitioner. Wrote an excellent book about hormones. And that's going to be our theme for May. And so I recommend that you read that book, first of all, because I think it's fantastic. A lot of the Ayurvedic recommendations you're going to be doing on this cleanse. So indeed, the cleanse can help with these symptoms because you're going to be stabilizing a lot in your body, and that can help a lot with your hormonal symptoms. In addition, I would highly recommend that you do the quote-unquote optional stress things like the yoga and the Nadi Shodhana and the meditation, because that helps bring your hormones into balance as well. There's a whole, I think my Flow is Sexy talk, which I think you guys accidentally received the link to. Go ahead and listen to it anyway if you want to. But I do actually go into some of that on how stress can throw off hormones, especially in perimenopause. The pranayama, the alternate nostril breathing, that's particularly good for balancing hormones, as is self-massage. Now, in terms of herbs, there are definitely herbs you can use for perimenopause. In her Balance Your Hormones book, she does talk about like shatavari, shatavari. That is a great supplement to use unless you have uterine fibroids or fibrocystic changes in your breast, okay? So if you've got lumps, basically, lumps in your breast, you know you're the type that gets the tender, bumpy breasts around your periods or just even any hormonal fluctual changes, do not take shatavari, okay? Other helpful perimenopausal herbs are vidari, V-I-D-A-R-I, or the Chinese herb dangui, D-A-N-G-U-I, shanyao, S-H-A-N-Y-A-O. Now, licorice can help a lot too, but not if you have high blood pressure, okay? It can make that worse. I highly recommend that if you're going to go like pure herbs like that, that you work with a practitioner. Otherwise, Banyan Botanicals, they have high quality Ayurvedic herbs. And by high quality, I mean, you know, getting herbs from China and India can be super sketchy because they can be contaminated with chemicals and heavy metals and cut with all this weird stuff. So, like, I mean, you know, some of the traditional herbs for diabetes that come from India and China end up being contaminated with actual diabetes medications, pharmaceutical medications, to increase their efficacy, but it kind of defeats the purpose for people wanting to just use herbs. So it's important to get quality ones. Banyan Botanicals has a product called Women's Support Pills, and those do have shatavari in it in a, like, fixed amount. And, again, do not use the Women's Support Pills because they have shatavari if you have a breast changes or uterine fibroids, okay? It's usually two pills with a cup of water, 30 minutes before meals, two or three times a day. All right? And if you have insomnia, I think Banyan, as part of your perimenopause, Banyan also has a product called Sleep Soundly, and you can take that an hour before bed. Let me see here. Someone's raising their hand. Yeah, Laura?
Hi, Anna. How are you?
I am. Great. What can I do for you?
Well, I have two quick questions. I noticed that in the reading, it's talking about taking the herbs with warm water. Is that mm-hmm. different than hot water? And what is warm water? Is that room temperature water, or is that something else?
Yeah, I interpret that as basically room temperature or warmer. The main thing is you don't want to take it with ice water or cold water. So I would say room temperature or heated.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yes, it did. And my other question is about the ghee. I no longer have a gallbladder living in the South. You probably relate to that. From your experience being in school. I know that it had – nobody in the South has a gallbladder. The question I have about that is, I know the ghee, it said not to increase that, but is there anything else I need to be aware of? And overall, I don't have much of a problem not having it. I mean, I don't have the diarrhea issues after I eat or anything, but is there anything I need to be concerned about with the herbs that I, other than cutting them back if I do have a problem?
Because of not having a gallbladder?
Yes.
Yeah. Nope, you should be fine with the herbs. I would just pay close attention to if the ghee is bothering you. And if it does, you could switch to coconut oil. That tends to rely less on liver gallbladder function.
Okay.
So coconut oil could be a good alternative. But, you know, every body is different. So if you can tolerate the ghee, great. But if you're finding you're not, so if you're finding that your stools are getting really fatty or really loose, in a way that's uncomfortable, then you can switch to the coconut.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay. We have another question here. Hold on. Got erased here. Rivka had said she has a strenuous workout schedule and needs to sustain growing muscle mass. Yeah. So, and she doesn't want to lose it. So is there a way around this, something she could add pre- or post-workout? Yes, Rivka. So you can do your I believe I've heard before that you use the isogenic shakes. Those are fine. You could take an extra isogenic shake with lunch or an extra one with dinner to add that protein if you're feeling like you need it in addition to the whole foods protein that you're eating. So I wouldn't do just plain whey protein powder, just because I feel like isogenic shakes are formulated a little bit better to help you absorb that as well. Your second question said, I'm feeling a little overwhelmed. I know it's just the beginning, but today I spent the entire morning figure out preparing and consuming breakfast and pills. Then it was time for lunch, so I didn't include pre-mail pills. And I did respond to Rivka about this because I didn't want her to panic for hours before I got to this call. But just so you guys know, that's exactly why we have this prep week. You're not supposed to be starting right now. So you're not supposed to be jumping right into this with the pills and the food and everything right now. This is a chance for you to start easing into it, playing with things a little bit, figuring out what Qatari recipe you like best, and so that you're not eating it every day without knowing if you like it or not. Start experimenting now. Ask some questions and get into it, and then set your schedule up as you play with this for success, okay? So in terms of feeling like everything's too close together, Rivka, for next week, what I would do is like make like grandma and do like a little pill box, okay, for your herbs, and then you could just not have to think about it. They're already partitioned out. You just take them just naturally. And remember, it's only 2 weeks. The cleanse is only 2 weeks, and you can totally do this. And if you skip some or whatever, it's okay. You definitely don't want to go into overwhelm mode here. Use this prep week fully to relax into it and ease into it, all right? And she asks, is there a go-to recipe for this cleanse so that I can have lots of and have on hand for times when I don't have time to prepare foods? That's a Khichdi. Khichdi with a protein shake. There you go. Make it overnight in your rice cooker. Have it in the morning. I've never tried to make it in a slow cooker, but I wonder if you could. I don't know. Maybe someone else knows the answer to that. Filana. Hi. Hi, Filana. She said, just brown rice gets old. I'm grateful I can use spices, and I'm going to get to eat that. Curious about the oil in the ears and mouth. Says sesame or ghee. Also, is ghee the same as clarified butter? Yes, it is. And if you can clarify your own butter, you can use that as a substitute for the ghee. And in terms of oil in the ears and mouth, that's nausea therapy. It can help definitely soothe any nasal issues, especially sinus issues if you're having allergies and whatnot. The orifices are considered very important in Ayurveda because they're the source of contact from the outside world to your inside body. And so it's thought that you can really protect it with sesame oil. I prefer using the sesame oil So I would not necessarily use ghee for the nose and the ears. For the nose and the ears, I would use sesame oil or almond oil. You can also do it with coconut oil, but traditionally sesame or almonds better for nausea therapy. And you can use a ear dropper or a nose dropper, like to put the little drops into your nose and ears. And there's some information about that in the book as well. And if you have more questions about that, feel free to ask me on the Facebook group. And you can actually get medicated, or not medicated, but basically like herbalized oils to put in your nose and ears as well. I can't think of her name right now, but there's a great, there are some great resources. Put Nasya, N-A-S-Y-A, Nasya oil. You can search for any, you know, herbalized versions to use for allergies in your nose or sinusitis or colds and flus, things like that that can work really well. All right, let me see here. Can you cook khichdi in a slow cooker? That's what I was just wondering too. You know, I want to find out here. Let me just see. I've never made it in a slow cooker. I have a feeling that I heard you can. And so I'm like, I'm trying to find your proof. But I always just use my rice cooker. But my guess is if you, like you could just do it like a stew. Because khichdi is basically, you can make it more of a soup consistency, or you can make it a stew consistency, or you can make it more dry, like just beans and rice. And so I don't see why you couldn't do it in a slow cooker personally. I just haven't done it myself. But I'm pretty sure that if you could, it would be in your recipe book here. So check that out and let me know so that if you guys experiment with it. Again, I think if you're into the texture of it being like a super stew, it should be fine. Next to mung beans, if you don't want to eat mung beans, are black beans good? Adzuki, what is the next best bean? Yeah, so basically, in terms of mung beans, they're the most easy to digest, obviously, but any other kind of lentil can work really well. And so if you're having trouble with the mung bean, I would definitely use other kind of lentil, like either yellow dal or, you know, the green lentils, smaller beans. So essentially, in terms of what's the next best bean, it's all about size. So the bigger beans are going to be hard to digest. And if you're going to be cooking the bigger beans, definitely soak them overnight for 6 to 8 hours, okay? Because in those 6 to 8 hours, you're going to really help the digestion of the beans by soaking them. And the other thing you can do is when you make the beans, put a little bit of wakame or kombu seaweed to help break down the beans, of the larger beans. I find black beans, most people find them pretty dang hard to digest. I mean, pinto beans are much easier for people to digest than black beans. And again, it's just kind of like brown rice. Like, a lot of people really think that brown rice is healthier, yet it is harder to digest than white rice. And the same thing with black beans. Like, they can be a lot harder for people to digest. So definitely, if you're going to go black beans, you can definitely do that. You can just make sure to soak them, and when you cook them, put in a little bit of that seaweed to help break it down. So, you know, pinto beans are great. I think adzuki would be awesome. So, yeah, those are my two preferred. And then someone else asked, what kind of protein powder do you recommend? I kind of went into that a little bit earlier, but the two commercially available ones that are awesome are the Isagenix shakes or the Shakeology, which don't taste as good, but their ingredients are pretty high quality. If in terms of protein powder, I really like hemp protein powder. And let me just see here. I always get the name wrong, so I'm going to walk over to mine here, my powder that I like. It's called Vega 1, V-E-G-A-1. And I like the vanilla chai flavor. And in terms of just a straight-up protein powder, I like that. That's what I add to my shakes and my smoothies when I make them at home. And it has, you know, 15 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber. It's dairy, gluten, and soy-free. So I really like that particular brand for just adding it to a drink or a meal that I'm making. So, and that's mostly because of the taste. I've done other hemp protein powders and stuff, and I think they're nasty. But this one I quite like. Solana adds here, I'm a very light sleeper and understand it's a good idea to eat a snack right before bed. What do you suggest if I cut out snacks? Is there an Ayurvedic tradition that deals with difficulty sleeping? Hi, Anna, we miss you here in Ashland. Oh, that's so sweet, Solana. Thank you. I actually had a really fun gathering with some of the ladies from the Freedom Junkie Tribe, and the ZG Tribe down in Ashland. We went to the hot spring or the Japanese spa Chozu down there. It was super fun. So I miss you too. Sending you lots of love. So yeah, that's a great question. And the answer is yes, Ayurveda does address that. And what they recommend is that in terms of a snack right before bed, they recommend warmed milk. And I know that the West health food craze is really anti-dairy. But in Ayurveda, they're all about dairy. And that's because I think for the most part, the dairy in Ayurveda is not pasteurized and not homogenized. And pasteurization and homogenization removes a lot of the good stuff that helps dairy be more easily digested. But, you know, if you don't have access to, like, good raw milk and stuff like that to, like, warm up on your own, which Ashland is one of the few places where you probably could get that, basically you can they recommend you can heat almond milk or coconut milk and then add some nutmeg and cinnamon to it, nutmeg and cinnamon and honey. So that is a great way to get enough calories into you so that you're not hungry through the night, but it's yet not enough calories to, like, you know, really be like a snack where your body's not going to access your fat stores. And the milk, whether it's dairy or whether it's almond or coconut, along with the nutmeg and the cinnamon and the honey, act as a natural sleep aid in Ayurveda. So I would definitely try that, okay? And try to do that instead of your snack before bed. And if you're finding that you're hungry in the middle of the night, what does that mean? Bigger dinner, okay? Oh, awesome. Here, somebody sent in, I think this is Karen. Is it Karen? Can't see. But anyway, Crockpot Kachari. So she, oh, yeah. Oh, that's funny because I just said, oh, yeah, and it's like blahblahblah.com. Crockpot Kachari, oh yeah. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to head over to the Facebook group and I'm going to post this website that was just shared here. Awesome. I'm going to share it on the website so that y'all can see the crockpot recipe, okay? And let's see, anything else? Any other questions? Anybody raising their hand with a star two? Nope. Okay, awesome. Thanks, you guys. You hung in there. 75 minutes of phone chatting. So I hope I helped answer some of your questions. Again, take a deep breath. We don't start for a week, all right? But at the same time, don't wait till the last minute. You know, use this to set yourself up for success. And go out there, you know, flip through the awesome ebook, pick some recipes that you want. Really plan it out. You know, you can totally do this. 2 weeks, you know, 7 days are going to be the most intense. You can do anything for 7 days, right? You got this. You got a tribe supporting you over in the Facebook group. You have your weekly calls. You're going to be getting your daily emails for self-reflection. So that's why I do this as a group, because it's so much more fun and so much more successful on the group. And if you're feeling crappy, share on the group and ask for a solution. Be solution-oriented, okay? When shit comes up, don't think of it like, oh, see, this is the reason why I can't do this. You know, oh, no, I have all these things planned. Now I can't do it. Think, what can I do to make this possible? Or what's the most I can do to stay in alignment with my goals? All right? You don't have to do this perfectly. You just got to do it. There'll be plenty of opportunities to cleanse again and again and again every season. I'm going to do another cleanse this summer. We're going to do a shorter raw food cleanse because I'm going to have Sandor Katz give us a talk at the Urban Wellness Club. He's all about fermentation and raw food and stuff. So we're going to do that in the summer. There's plenty of time to get this down. So just look at this as fun, a way you're going to reset. And at the same time, honor yourself and take this seriously and set yourself up for success. Okay? All right, one more check for questions. Oh, one more here. What's the Facebook site? Oh, yeah, freedomjunkie.com is my main blog, freedomjunkie.com. And for the Urban Wellness Club, you know, with these guest speakers I've been mentioning, that's urbanwellnessclub.com. I got pretty lucky with those URLs being available. So, yeah, freedomjunkie.com is my main site. Urbanwellnessclub.com is the monthly membership program if you guys want to check that out. One more little check for questions. Oh, thanks, Alana. That was really sweet for you to write. She just wrote me another sweet note. All right, you guys. Well, thank you for taking the time. I'm honored that you've chosen to do this cleanse with me. I'm just glad that there are people out there and awareness and consciousness around how precious this life is and how we deserve to live it to the most full capacity that we can, and that means we have to take care of this body that our beautiful souls were put in so that we can really manifest what our soul is meant to do here as most effectively as possible by taking good care of our bodies, okay? So welcome to the Ayurveda Spring Cleanse. Let's rock this together, and I'm really looking forward to it. All right, let me know if questions come up, and I will talk to you all next week. Lots of love. Bye.